Hello, and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am Butcher Amateur Catechist Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. I'm back. I have the second half of the little packet of the Amaretto French Roast. I put a little more sugar in it this morning, and you can the amaretto flavor really comes out, making it sweet like that. You really do perceive the amaretto. It's quite lovely, actually. So, where are we? We are on question 119, the very last phrase in the Apostles' Creed. So it seemed like I should just kind of go back over the Apostles' Creed. Let's repeat it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, question 119. 119 and 120 will be this last section on and the life everlasting, and then we get into sacraments. So, question 119, how do you know about the unending resurrected life of believers? Question 119, how do you know about the unending resurrected life of believers? Answer, I know that it will be an eternal life of joyful fellowship with our triune God, together with all his saints and angels, singing his praises and serving him in the renewed creation. Question 119. What do you know about the unending resurrected life of believers? Unending resurrected life of believers. I know that it'll be an eternal life of joyful fellowship with our triune God, together with all his saints and angels, singing his praises and serving him in the new creation. Okay, so scriptural references. We'll start with the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 24. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And the next are all from the Revelation of St. John. First one is chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these? Clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, and the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The next is chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. The next is chapter 21. So we continue in chapter 21, verses 22 to chapter 22, verse 5. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will be there anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Question 119. What do you know about the unending, so without end, without terminus, without forever and ever, resurrected life of believers? So us, to the believers brought back to life, which will be all believers brought back to life. If there was any question about my grammatical structure there, hanging participles and all. I know that it will be an eternal life of joyful fellowship with our triune God. I know, so I am sure of, it will be an eternal life, an unending life, of joyful fellowship with our triune God. How could it be any other way, I suppose, but it's a life, it's something we can't comprehend. It's one of the things, like, our canon likes to say, sometimes we start to think that the next life is just a better version of this life. like just, you know, life 2.0. Sort of like the, you know, the Sadducees asking, you know, whose wife will he be in the resurrection? And Jesus says, you don't understand the resurrection. They're not given in marriage. They don't take in marriage. They'll be like the angels of heaven. So it's something we don't really truly comprehend. What is it like to be an angel? I only know a few things, and they seem to be able to fly and traverse great distances and fight battles with demons. Something I need a plane to fly or launch myself or die trying, right? These are things that are unfamiliar to me. So this joyful fellowship with the triune God is something I think we can barely wrap our heads around. There's a quote later on, I think, really sums up this, and I'm looking forward to it. Together with all his saints and angels, so all of us joined together with the angels, singing his praises and serving him in the renewed creation. Think of Jesus on the cross. Behold, I make all things new. So John 17. I mean, it's such, reading this out loud is really difficult because of the switchings. It's I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Right? That sort of you and me and I'm starting to stumble over my words. You are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Right? It's this repetition of this idea of I'm in you, you are in me, they are in us, you're in them. You think of paraklesis? So I'm not saying that right. The interdwelling of the Godhead, right? The Spirit is in the Father is in the Spirit. They intimately know each other in an interdwelling way since the beginning of all, from eternity past to eternity future, right? So here's John. So Chrysostom, I'm using this quote from Chrysostom because it's more about the passage itself. And then Augustine is more on the what we're talking about here, the life everlasting. So Chrysostom, that by miracles, that by doctrines, and that they should be of one soul, for this is glory, that they should be one, and greater even than miracles, as men admire God because there is no strife or discord in that nature, and this is his greatest glory. So too let these, he says, from this cause become glorious. And now, says someone, does he ask the Father to give this to them, when he says that he himself gives it? Whether his discourse be concerning miracles or unanimity or peace, he is seen himself to have given these things to them, whence it is clear that the petition is made for the sake of their comfort. Now, Augustine of Hippo, the Lord Jesus raises up his people to a great hope than which they should not possibly be greater. Listen and rejoice in hope that since the present is not a life to be loved, but to be tolerated, you may have the power of patient endurance amid all its tribulation. Here ends the reading. This is that quote that I was just talking about. The Lord Jesus raises up his people to a great hope, than which there could not possibly be a greater. Listen and rejoice in hope that, since the present is not a life to be loved, but to be tolerated, you may have the power of patient endurance amid all its tribulation. Do not love the world, but tolerate it. You tolerate this life. I've been sort of mulling on that since I first read it. A life of patient endurance, of tolerating this life, knowing that it is not our greatest hope, knowing that it's not going to fulfill all of our greatest hopes and dreams and et cetera, et cetera. For we all have them, right? We have these great hopes of doing something or accomplishing some great thing. Usually out of our own desire for self-aggrandizement, not really for the glory of God. If God gets some glory, that's great, but mostly it's about me, if I'm truly honest with myself. But here is a nugget of wisdom to roll around in your mind. The present life is not a life to be loved, but to be tolerated. You may have the power of patient endurance amid all its tribulation. Speaking of tribulation, let's move into Revelation. So there is blessedly amazingly few commentaries on Revelation from church fathers. Just vanishingly small, and usually comes in sort of oblique references in other places, because I'll find just like one word sentences where they're basically quoting the book of Revelation. So Revelation, of course, is this, the description of the things to come, apocalyptic language, imagery. Right, you have so in 7 you have a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, right? Just everybody, all the believers, right? From every language, time, place, location, across time, standing clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands. Now, here's the Venerable Bede, AD 735. When the fullness of immortal bliss is gained, all sorrow will be at once consigned to forgetfulness. For, quote, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted, end quote. The vision of the white-robed multitude may also be understood of the present time when, quote, we are saved in hope, quote, and quote, end quote, hoping for that which was not seen and patient waiting for it, end quote. And then another quote from Bede, by robes he signifies baptism, and by palms the triumph of the cross. And he imitates that in Christ they have overcome. He intimates that in Christ they have overcome the world. But robes may also double the glory which is given by the Holy Spirit. Here ends the reading. So Bede is in the one quote talking about what the white robes and the palms might mean. Of course, I think he's quite right in saying that the white robes is the baptism, and the palm branches signify the cross. So in baptism and in the cross, right? But he's also talking about how in this space, I'm thinking about the stages of grief here. We talk about this a lot, at least here in the United States, you know, the stages of grief. And right now my father-in-law is very, very ill, and we're, you know, sort of all coming to grips with the fact that he's slowly slipping away. Very hard on my wife, obviously, especially since we're far away. But, you know, there's a mourning that's necessary. It can be hard, but it's necessary. And here we are given, we will have space to mourn because it will be truly necessary. There will be, you know, there will be discoveries in heaven that will surprise us. Who we thought might be there isn't. And we pray to God, of course, that we will be there. You know, hoping in the blessed hope, right? Because it's not of my own strength. It's of the grace and gift of God. So here we must, there will be a period of mourning. We will be in mourning. We will have to have tears wiped away from our eyes, right? So heaven will find us comfort as we begin the life everlasting. And then we move into Revelation 21 and 22, and there's no church fathers on this. You know, you're talking about the final fulfillment of all, right? The new heaven and new earth, and God is at the center, and all the things are forgotten. All of history is wiped out. All that it is life eternal with God. There's a river flowing through the middle of the city, and a tree, and the fruit and its branches, and healing in its leaves, right? Life everlasting with healing constant, and I would hope growth in all great wisdom, and who knows? I mean, you know, I think it's just far beyond our comprehension to imagine what that's like, having only known this world with all of the its pains and death and disappointment and sadness and struggle. It's just really hard to comprehend what that might be like. We tend to sort of gin up this life and make it, you know, it must be like a better life here. No, it's something far beyond all of that and far beyond, I think, our poor, feeble minds can comprehend. So tainted by sin and evil are we that we can't break free from that cloudiness of thought. We're just, it's like that first, one of those first questions. Turning back to question, there it is, 5. Can you save yourself from the way of sin and death? No, I have no power to save myself, for sin has corrupted my conscience, confused my mind, and captured my will. Only God can save me. Right? We are stuck in there. We're stuck in corrupted my conscience, confused my mind, and captured my will. Yes, we are improving as life goes on, Lord willing, God giving us wisdom, God teaching us things, us growing in strength. But we, this body must truly die for us to be let go and to be joined to a perfect body. We're no longer going to be fighting the body. We'll be set free. And that's the life everlasting, being set free from the way of sin and death, truly, ultimately, fully, what are all the superlatives that you can throw in there? That is a great and glorious thing to look forward to. Meanwhile, we tolerate this life, patient endurance. For some reason, the word tolerate really conjured up something more than patient endurance. I'm not sure why, but tolerating pain, right? Just sort of bearing through it, tolerating patient endurance. So let's review the question answer really quick, and then we'll wrap this one up a little shorter than usual, but that's okay. What do you know about the unending resurrected life of believers? I know that it will be an eternal life of joyful fellowship with our triune God, together with all his saints and angels, singing his praises and serving him in the renewed creation. I think I'm going to close with the general thanksgiving from the 2019 BCP. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy worthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.